before. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read it first. We'll just read the text. I'm reading from New Living. And then we're going to dig into a few bits. But before I do that, I'm actually going to retell the story for you. Okay, so let's have a look at the text as it's written, and then we'll hear the paraphrase according to Michael. So, okay. I want you to close your eyes, and I want to place yourself, it doesn't say which town we're at, but let's just pick Capernaum for a picture. So we're sitting on the side of the Sea of Galilee. It's 9 a.m. Jesus is there. None of the other apostles around. There's Mary and some of the other helpers and some of the other people who accompanied Jesus are there. And they're sitting by the side of the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples start to come back from their trip, back in twos, pairs. And they start to share and they're talking with Jesus and they're telling what amazing things happened. And the places they went to where nothing happened, where the people were hard-hearted. And the places they went to where the people kicked them out. They're sharing, they're talking with Jesus. And by this time, the fishermen have all brought their catches in. The boats are all pulled up alongside. They're cleaning their nets. They've sent the fish off to be sold. They're just all milling around here. It's middle of the morning now. Yeah, it's 11 o'clock. It's getting hotter. So as they all group around, Jesus looks at this group and goes, "We're all tired. We need a rest. So let's get in the boat and let's go find somewhere quiet. Everybody needs a break." He knows everyone's been working hard. The ministry's been going on. They need a break. So people are starting to come out of the town because, you know, they know about Jesus and they keep wanting to see him. And as they get into the boat, there isn't much of a wind. So they set sail out onto the lake and they're sort of running along the shore and people are seeing them and they're going, "We don't want Jesus to get away." So they start running down the side of the shore and they keep following down as Jesus and the disciples slowly move down towards the south a bit more. They settle in an area. It's a large grassed area. It's almost like a natural amphitheater and there's quite a few of them around that area. And Jesus and the disciples are still out in the boat, but this group is getting bigger and bigger and people are coming down the valleys into this natural area, this big amphitheater area. And Jesus sees them and he tells them to bring the boat in and bring it onto shore. So they bring it onto shore. No one's really had much of a rest. They kind of got away from one group and they had, you know, an hour on a boat and that was about it. They're all still tired. But Jesus gets out of the boat and he sees the crowd and his heart's filled with compassion for them. And although he really wants a break, and although he knows the disciples really need a break, they still get out and they start to minister. They bring people. People are healed. Demons are released. People are set free. The disciples minister in among the group and Jesus teaches in this great big group. It's now 3-4 in the afternoon. It's starting to get a bit later now. Sun hasn't started to set, but the disciples are thinking ahead a bit and going, "Oh, we really need to get this lot fed, and we haven't had anything since breakfast." So they come to Jesus, as they do, and they make a suggestion. At that point, the Holy Spirit, the Father, through the Holy Spirit, says to Jesus, "Challenge them. Who are they looking to provide?" And Jesus says to them, "You feed them. You do it. Not me, not the town, you." The disciples realize the impossibleness of this situation. They can't do that. Take months to earn the money. They don't have the money. And Jesus says to them, "Okay, what have you got? What food do you have?" Apparently in 5,000 men and their families, maybe one or two have brought something. The rush of the morning, the excitement of seeing Jesus, just taken. No one's planned ahead. No one's thought. So they find 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, 20,000 people. I'm sure the disciples thought, This is an impossible problem. So they do what they're told, they bring it to Jesus. Jesus takes what he's given. He actually doesn't need anything, but he takes what has been brought. He blesses it, and he begins to give it out to the disciples, who take it into the groups, and he keeps giving it out. He keeps giving it out constantly. Every time he breaks off a piece of bread, he's able to break off another and another and another and another, and it just keeps coming. And they feed everybody. And then he tells them to gather up the leftovers. They gather up 12 baskets. The original meal wouldn't have even filled a quarter of one, yet they gather up 12 baskets. And they bring it back, and everyone is amazed. It's quite a picture, isn't it? It's an amazing story. So, following Marjorie's challenge, find the one thing in there. There are a couple of things that really jumped out at me from that. Let's look at the context. Does everyone remember all the previous stories we've been looking at? There's a lot of spiritual elements to it. There's a lot of control of the demonic. There's stories of healings. All these things have been happening. The disciples have gone out, and they've been sent out in pairs, and they've gone out and done ministry, and they've seen amazing things happen. And they all come back. I get the sense at this point that everyone was getting a bit tired. About, 20-something years ago, at Tuggerang AOG, we did a missions trip over to Serbia, and we did a whole of ministry throughout Serbia. It was a two weeks of that actual mission time, and Andrew and I take some holiday around it. And I remember, it was about 10 days, I remember it was about the seventh day. We were about to get our day off. It was a Sunday night, and we were doing a ministry time in a church in Belgrade. We'd actually done one in the main theatre, huge 2,000-seat theatre, which was about half full the previous night. So yeah, we finished at like 1 or 2 in the morning. We were back, we were doing stuff. That was that evening. I was sitting where Deborah is sitting behind a mixing console. And I remember never having felt so tired in my life. To have to sit there as part of the ministry team and listen to Alan, tell the same message I'd heard 20 times before and look interested was really really, really hard. I remember just wanting to lie down and sleep. I get the feeling that's where the disciples were at. Yeah, they've been going. It says here, yeah. If you ever look in verse 31, Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and and rest a while." Jesus recognized when people were tired. And he also recognized there were lots of people coming, and that it says here, and the apostles didn't even have time to eat. Do you get the sense they're pretty busy? They've been doing ministry. They've been doing God's will. They're doing what Jesus asked them to do. But Jesus himself knew there was a need for rest. And he took it. Well, he tried to take it. They had a go at taking it. So, in our lives, there are times for rest. And that's okay. There is a time to rest. There's a time to sow, to plant. The Savior of the world recognized his physical limits. And when he needed to rest, and when the disciples needed to rest. The interesting thing about it is that they sailed down the coast a bit, and obviously they couldn't have gone too far out because the people ran beside them. You can almost imagine the picture of this sailing boat sort of walking its way down there, and this great big group of people just going with him. I would imagine at some point Jesus went, "Okay, Father, what do I do?" And it was like, well, back in ministry time again. They didn't get much of a rest. But what was really interesting is verse 34. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching many things. He got out of the boat, even though he was tired, and he had compassion. And the interesting thing is, we've just been talking about rest, but what did that compassion lead him to do? Action. To do something, despite being tired. I would imagine also that perseverance had to kick in at this point. You know, sometimes God calls you to do things that are hard, and you have to push through it. So the perseverance led to action, and he began to teach and began to minister. What was interesting about, to me, the most interesting thing I found about this little section here was where the disciples said to Jesus, look, we need to send him away to go and get the food organized. And Jesus challenges them again about who's actually the provider of everything. The interesting thing is that Jesus asked them, how much bread do you have? And then the next thing he says is, go and find out. So I suggest that when he said, how much bread do you have? The disciples were like, oh, no. We don't know. So we'll go and find out. So they go and find out, and they come back and they find that they have not very much for the problem that's in front of them. God works with what we have. Jesus literally took what was brought to him, which wasn't a lot, and he made more of it. He's obviously the provider of everything. But to me, this was just a beautiful example of how God takes what we give, what we have, and he multiplies and uses for his purpose to meet his needs, to meet the needs of the people, through Jesus himself. Have a look at the way it's written here. I find this fascinating. In verse 41, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven and blessed them. So, where was he getting his strength and his source from? From his Father. That was where it was coming from. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. So that image I gave you before of Jesus breaking the bread and giving it to the disciples, he kept doing it. It multiplied in his hands as he gave it out. So it was the action of giving through which he actually saw the multiplication happen. It wasn't when he blessed it. It was actually the action of giving it away that the multiplication happened. So the thing that grabbed me through this is Jesus is a man. Yes, he's the Son of God. He's fully man, fully human, fully God. One of the things that Jesus said is he only ever did that which his Father told him to do, which means he's in constant communion via the Holy Spirit with the Father. So there were several points here where I think the Father was directing him. Now this is, don't treat this as canonical, but just have a think about through these points, as we're moving through this story, what's Jesus talking to the Father about? What's that communion happening? What's going on in this journey? I think let's go off ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. I think that's one of those points where the Father probably said to him, Jesus, you need a break. Take a break. Take the disciples. Go have a break. When Jesus challenges the disciples, you feed them. Was that the Holy Spirit speaking to him? And he's speaking out? Then again, obviously, the Holy Spirit's interacting with the multiplication. I mean, this is, as I was starting to think about this, it's kind of like, this is a beautiful picture of the Trinity in action. Jesus was the physical manifestation of God. He was human. He was here in flesh and blood. Yet, because he was fully God, he was also part of the Trinity. He was always, the three of them are in constant communion. So therefore, it's a continuous dialogue. I would love to have that level of intimacy with the Father. I don't think you can achieve it. The Trinity is truly unique. But can you imagine the connection he had to the Father and with the Holy Spirit? It was a constant thing. So when we read Scripture and we read what Jesus says, he's acting in unity with the Trinity at all times. He has to be. It is the essence of who he is. The multiplication was obviously a time where the Trinity was actively working. Literally, creation was happening in his hands. Isn't that cool? Yeah, God was spiritually enacting and creating matter, bread, fish, in real time, in Jesus' hands. I would have loved to have seen that. It's just awesome to see that happening. The interesting thing about that is, was Jesus at all worried or concerned about the lack of food? Didn't seem to faze him for a second, did it? So, okay, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Cool. I can work with that. Isn't that just an awesome picture? There is absolutely no lack in him. He didn't get concerned by this. He didn't look at 20,000 people. You know, that's not an unreasonable number, by the way. If there are 5,000 men, plus wives and children, we could get to 10, 20,000 people without a problem. How much space do you need to put 20,000 people on a grass field? It's big, isn't it? Okay, and we've got a lake behind us, so we're not talking a circle, it's a half circle at best, possibly less depending on the terrain. So you've got a lot of people jammed in an area, you probably can't see the people at the back, they're just dots. Okay, so Jesus is presented with five loaves of bread and 2 fish and this sea of people. If you were him, what would you think? I'll probably go, Lord, help. It's not Jesus' response. He's just, what did he do? He blessed the food and he started to give. And it created in his hands. Mark is full of miracles. Whether they take the form of a healing or whatever. The book of Mark, of the four Gospels, is probably the one that has the most, when you're talking intensity, the most miracles and the most examples of his power. This is an example of the power of God. The creative ability to actually be able to take literally a seed. The 5 loaves were almost like a seed, weren't they? From that, he multiplied and he grew and he distributed so much. But it was a seed of faith that he took to begin the process. So this to me is just another example of God interacting in power and Jesus displaying his power and his authority. The thing that really, really ticked off the Pharisees and the Sadducees probably more than anything else was Jesus' authority and his ability to do things that didn't fit with their preconceived ideas of what, you know, Jewish religion should look like and what a relationship with the Father should look like. He constantly broke the norms of that they'd had established, not necessarily he didn't break the biblical ones, the ones from the Talmud, the 5 books of the Old Testament. He broke the traditions. And it really, really annoyed them. And this is a really good example of how he had the authority to take 5 loaves and make. How many loaves of bread? You know, take a guess. How many loaves of bread to feed 15,000 people? Anyone ever catered a large event like that? So we're talking thousands of loaves of bread. So we're now talking that he's taken five loaves of bread, he's kept breaking them and ended up with a couple of thousand loaves of bread. Isn't that amazing? Into groups. So was the disciples then picking it up and giving it out and just keeping on?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Just an amazing thought of what God was doing. He had no lack. He didn't care. The five loaves were just a seed. It's all he needed. It's a really mind-blowing story when you start to think about it. But the thing that got me, because we've all known this story, haven't we? It's one of those kids' stories. It's great. Everyone knows it. The thing that really got me was the rest and the action. The fact that the Lord of the universe, the Savior of the world, who had a 3-year mission to do, knew when it was time to rest. He knew when it was the right time to rest. And then he also knew the time it was to get into action and to minister and to meet people's needs. And he did it even when he never got the rest. He probably got a little bit, but I would imagine he was probably after a little more than a 1-hour journey in a rickety boat down the side of Lake Galilee. But his compassion drove him. His compassion, I believe it was the Father's compassion, was what got him out of the boat again. And he went, let's do it again. I get what it is to be tired during ministry. I'm sure anyone who's been involved in Christian ministry knows there's times where you're tired. That's the compassion of Jesus, to just get back in there and to do it again and to minister again. But he knew when it was time to rest. And I think there's a good life lesson in that for us. There are times for rest. There are times for action. And I think one of the secrets of Christianity, healthy, wise Christianity, is to know when each of those times are. Know when you should be resting. Know when you should be doing. And they're not the same times. They're different in a sense. Now, the church sometimes asks people, hopefully not us, but the church universal, and I've been in this situation, asks a lot from people. A lot of the time. We have a long history of burning out people in the church universal. Okay, I don't see that in Scripture. I see Jesus as someone who's running a marathon and knows when to pace himself, knows when to rest, knows when to be in action. So it's just that was probably the thing that really grabbed me out of this story, is that contrast. That's all I had today. Can we just pray? And I think that's all for today, isn't it, Caroline? Cool, thank you. So I'll just pray, and then we can all come and have some morning tea together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that your word is life to us. Lord, that your word has such vivid examples of who you are. Lord, your ability to know the seasons, to know the time to rest, the time for action, the time for compassion, the time to just trust in your Father and see the Holy Spirit through Jesus just do amazing miracles. Lord, that you had, Jesus, you had just total faith and total trust in your Father. Lord, you were in such communion that you knew exactly what he wanted. Lord, may we step towards that. May we know exactly what you want us to do at each time. Lord, the time to rest, the time for action. Lord, just help us to apply that in our lives each day. Lord, may we be connected with you through the Holy Spirit. May we hear your voice and be able to speak into people's lives each day. Lord, that we know the times to speak. We know the times to be silent. Lord, the times to offer a hand of support. The times to sit and to listen. The times to cry with others, the times to laugh with others. Lord, may we know your heart for your people. Lord, and be able to listen and then just do what you've told us to do, like Jesus did. Lord, help us to have that communion with you, the same as your Son did. Lord, we thank you so much for your presence this morning, for your goodness towards us, for all the ways in which you care for us and look after us. Lord, for the multiplication of your grace within our lives. Lord, bless us this week as we go forward, that we may bless others. Not that we get to keep it, but we get to pass it on to others and see them come to know you the way we do. Lord, I thank you and I praise you so much for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Come and join us for a cup. Sure. I want to be able to hear it.
2 days ago, I was in bed with vertigo, really, really bad vertigo. Shocking. Yesterday, I was able to get up. It was still not nice. And today, I thought, will I come to church or not? Will I drive or not? And I was able to keep my hair, you know, straight, and I got here, but I thought there's no way known I could get up and operate in the Spirit. It just would not happen. I just couldn't do it. And I was sitting there, sat out the first one, thinking that's what I'll be doing today. And the Lord came over and put his hand out like this and come with me. And we went up the back and he started me moving and then eventually had me twirling around, which there is no way I could have done with vertigo.
Awesome. Thank you. Presence of Jesus heals again. Awesome.
Come and have a cuppa with us.